I've heard it said, you steer where you stare. We are bombarded daily with voices vying for our attention. And if we fill our days and minds with Netflix and social media feeds, we can get off track pretty quick. That's why I developed a 30-day music challenge. Listen to Christian music exclusively for 30 days. The challenge is free, and I'll be right there with you every step of the way. Head over to michellenezat.com/30-day-challenge to sign up. Change your music, change your life. You're listening to More Than a Song, episode 169. Hello, and welcome to this episode of More Than a Song. My name is Michelle Nezat, and this is the podcast dedicated to helping you discover the truth of Scripture hidden in today's popular Christian music. My goal is to teach you to connect portions of God's Word with the songs you're singing along with on the radio, to help you meditate on truths that will transform your way of thinking and ultimately your life. This time of year for our family is always crazy. I'm an administrator at a school, and so not only is it the end of year for my own kids, but for all of the initiatives and the messages that we want to get out to families before summer. And then both of my daughters celebrate their birthdays a week apart, and since they are 4 years apart, I cannot get away with just having one group party. And since I think birthdays are pretty special, I want to make theirs special too. And then my birthday is in the mix too, so we celebrate with family and have parties with friends too. And then piano recital is always at the beginning of May, and my girls are in Christian youth theater, and so there have been showcases. And now this last week was show week, and my youngest was in Seussical the Musical. It was her first big show, and the reason CYT is so special is because of parent involvement and support. So after 7 shows in 4 days, and Meredith had 7 costume changes, so do the math, and then Mother's Day, and why I agreed to work in the nursery on Sunday, I'll never know. But anyway, I say all of that to say, I'm sure you've had seasons of life like this, when you've either overcommitted, or it's just a natural culmination of good stuff like our celebrations. Or I have a friend whose husband is recovering from surgery, and they're packing and moving, and she's a homeschool mom. Or I have other friends with unexpected health issues that thrust them into a season of crazy. I'm just saying, we've all been there. And some seasons are short, like mine. You know, once May is over, I can breathe. But some are very long, like newborns who don't sleep or health treatments that last years. So as I was pondering and praying the direction I was going to take the podcast this week, I realized that I had thought ahead a little. And even in the midst of crazy, so can you. I chose a song that I knew would lead us to a psalm. I mean, you don't have to wonder where in Scripture I'm going to go this week, because the title of the psalm is in the song. So we're going to use Shane and Shane's song, Psalm 51, Wisdom in the Secret Heart. So I chose a section of Scripture that was pretty self-contained, Psalm 51, where I wouldn't feel overwhelmed, but I wouldn't have to do a lot of chasing down cross-references or research if I didn't want to. I also knew that I had a wonderful resource to assist me. I used Charles Spurgeon's The Treasury of David. It's a commentary on the Psalms. And then the song. Oh, the song. It comes straight from Scripture. And so I knew I could sit and soak in that. And by soaking in the song, I was actually soaking in Scripture. But it wasn't enough. You see, it wasn't enough to know where I was going to go. I had to actually go there, and I knew that I would have to make the most of the moment I had in brief pockets this week. So I knew this wasn't going to be a lay out the notebooks and volumes of books and dig in with rainbow colored pencils and all of that. So what I did was I queued up Psalm 51 in my YouVersion app, and I played it in the car on Monday on the way to the doctor. Yep, I had a doctor's appointment Monday too. Oh, and an orthodontist appointment for my oldest during the week too. Yay. Anyway, I queued up Psalm 51 and I resisted the temptation to play the radio. And it's like deciding before you sit down at the restaurant that you're going to order grilled, not fried. Just make the choice to queue up scripture instead and then follow through with it. I also made sure that I was rereading the Psalm at least once a night. And because I'm committed to preparing this podcast, I read through the commentary on Psalm 51 over the course of a couple of nights. And so also, even though it's show week and I was helping seven little Who's from Whoville change into cadets and then back into Who's and back into cadets and then into circus performers and then back into Who's, there are breaks between shows. And instead of chatting it up with the stage moms, I slipped out for about 30 minutes one afternoon and just wrote. But if you're not writing, that 30 minutes was a pocket of time that grounded me in the midst of chaos. I soaked in the scripture and began to let it change the way I think. And then mostly, I just thought about it a lot. So the thing, the key is to get it in you early on in the week, especially if you're going to have a busy week, and to repeat it and then just really think about it. Read it in such a way that you know I have to remember some parts of this and think about it. And then finally, as late as Saturday afternoon, I had an opportunity where I had lunch with a friend and I talked about some of what I was pondering. So I shared it with a friend. If you are a new listener, what I just shared with you is a list of Bible interaction tool exercises. I like to call them bites. They help us take a bite out of scripture. I'm sorry if that's too cheesy for you, but they are just super practical habits that if you integrate it into your daily life, they will help you with your time in God's word. So if you missed it, here they are again. Number one, don't just decide to jump into God's word, really do it. Number two, listen to an audio version. Number three, repetition. And then number four, focus in on a smaller section of scripture that is fairly self-contained, like a psalm or a short book of the Bible. Number five, utilize a commentary as a resource that'll help you deepen your knowledge and understanding if you get stuck, especially in an area of scripture that might be a little confusing. Number six, meditate on scripture. As possible, use music to help you do that. But again, think about it, right? So don't just read it and close it and move on your way, but meditate on it. Think about it. Roll it around in your mind a little bit. Number seven, take advantage of small pockets of time. This is really enhanced when you are soaking in that smaller section of scripture, because if I only have a few minutes to review a few verses that are a part of a psalm that I've been reading in all week, those few minutes are going to produce more than just, let's say, reading a verse on an Instagram post. Does that make sense? And then number eight, talk about what you're learning with a friend. I cannot emphasize this enough, because when you have to put into words what you're thinking, even if you don't get it quite right, it starts to, again, continue to deepen your understanding of it. It builds in your mind. It just goes in deeper. Okay. And it sounds like a lot for a week, but I think you can see how these bites can naturally fit into your daily life. And I did them almost kind of without thinking, because they've become habits. So let's discuss some of the fruit of all of this, shall we? So this Psalm, that Psalm 51 that we're going to, is credited to David, and it was written in response to Nathan calling him out on his grave sins of murder and adultery. And if you've never read the story of David's transgressions, you can find it in 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12. But basically, in a nutshell, when David should have been on the battlefield with his troops, he was at home and a beautiful woman caught his eye and he committed adultery with her. And when she became pregnant, he tried to get her husband to come home and kind of cover up the visible consequences of his sin. When that didn't work, he had her husband set up on the battlefield in such a way that it would ensure his death. And then he took Bathsheba, the beautiful girl, to be his wife. Sins compounding on sins, compounding on sins. So then Nathan, the prophet and a man of God, was sent to call David out on his sin. And this psalm was written by David in response to all that God was doing in his heart. And our psalm starts out with a cry out to God for mercy. It says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin." You see, David and any sinner knows that the pardon of sin is an act of mercy. But not only is he calling for mercy, but he's asking that God would erase the sins, that he would blot them out. Take out your holy eternal pink eraser and blot out my transgressions. Make it as though they never happened. You see, there's no self-justification found in this verse or in these two verses. Here we find a truly repentant heart. And we begin to see in this psalm what we will continue to witness, and that is a deep understanding of the filthiness of sin in the eyes of God that has come to light in the eyes of David. And there are times in our lives when we take advantage of a forgiving God. We confess our sins, and then we go right back out and commit them again, kind of with this idea or this knowledge that I can confess and be forgiven. Don't feel shocked by that statement. You know, we do it. We confess and sin and confess again. Sometimes we don't want to, but sometimes we are not truly repentant for the sins in our lives. And not David here. He is calling on God to take out the eraser. He is recognizing the filth of his sin and not only asks God to erase it, but to cleanse him. Wash me thoroughly, our version says here. And with it comes this idea of wash and wash and wash again until not a trace of defilement is left. This is a deep cry. This is a repentant heart. This is a strong example of how we should view sin ourselves, recognizing it for the filth it truly is. I like how Charles Spurgeon puts it. He says, "The careless soul is content with a nominal cleansing, but the truly awakened conscience desires a real and practical washing, and that of a most complete and efficient kind." That we may be truly awakened to the filthiness of our sin. In fact, may we understand the number of our sins. You know, David does this. It's like he can't escape the reality of his sin. In fact, he goes on to say, "For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me." Now, I'm sure you're thinking, Michelle, you forgot to play us the song. I didn't forget. It's just that the song pulls some of our verses kind of out of order. It's not a bad thing, but we're coming up on the section of the psalm that our song starts with. So here goes.
Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart.
I love that our song starts with this. Our song says, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you delight in the truth and the inward me, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart." The psalm says in verse 4, "Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." There's that word for word right there. "Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart." These are some pretty powerful truths to ponder as you listen to this song and then read this psalm this week. First of all, it says, "Against you and you only have I sinned." We tend to keep our relationships with others in one bucket and our relationship with God in another. And what we need to understand is that they are inextricably linked. So when David sinned against Uriah by arranging for his murder, he really sinned against God. When David committed adultery with Bathsheba, he really sinned against God. When we break relationship with others through sin, we are really sinning against God. We think we can work on our vertical relationship with God and ignore the restoration of our horizontal relationship with others, but we cannot. We think we can honor God with our praise and harbor unforgiveness in our heart. We cannot. We think we can perform acts of service to God and be counted as righteous, but stay unrepentant in our heart. We cannot. The way we treat others is how we are treating God. We cannot sin against others and be in right standing with God. So first, against God and God alone are we sinning. That is a somber thought. Second, we have a sin nature that we cannot escape. David says it this way, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Paul in Romans says this. He says, yes, Adam, in Romans chapter 5, verse 18 and 19. Yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone, but Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and new life for everyone. Because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because one other person obeyed God, many will be made righteous. David is so overwhelmed with the consciousness of his own sin that as he looks back on his life, he realizes that he was sinful from the beginning. That comes from the systematic theology book I've mentioned before by Wayne Grudem. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3, it says, all of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. But by our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. So all sin is against God. We are sinful from the beginning. And God delights in truth in the inward being. Our song and our psalm both say, behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in this secret heart. God does not care for the pretense of purity. He looks to the mind and the heart and the soul. He wants it to be real. Teach me wisdom in the secret heart. I love this phrase. I don't think I've ever really noticed it before, but that's what I've been pondering so much lately, this prayer, this request for God to teach me wisdom in the secret heart. And of course, that's brought out by our song. And we've been studying Ephesians in church, in my church lately for the past few weeks. So this is fresh in my mind. But Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, he asks for the same thing. He prays that the eyes of our hearts will be enlightened. It says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe. And in episode 155, we used Shane and Shane's song, Psalm 13. There was a similar request in that psalm. It says, light up my eyes, that psalm says. In other words, help me see the right way. Enlighten the eyes of my heart. Teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Psalm 51 goes on to say, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you've broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Again, David is crying out for purity, not just pardon, not just forgiveness, but purity. Again, he calls to be washed clean. He asks God to hide his face from his sin, erase it. Again, he asks this cry that the weight of sin's judgment has crushed David, but that even he's even asking that his brokenness, the brokenness that he deserved, of course, the brokenness that was a result of his sin, let those broken bones rejoice. It's such a powerful prayer. And then comes the chorus. Once again, our song is word for word scripture, and that's why this song will be so powerful for you this week. When you learn the words of the song, you will be learning the words of the psalm. And it says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. I want to point out that David is not only asking for renewal, because he is. But he's asking for Creator God, the Master Potter, to form a brand new heart because the other one was too defiled. Song keeps moving through this psalm. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. David is saying here once again, once I'm clean, once I have a new heart and a renewed spirit, now that I've acknowledged my sinful nature, my sin against you and your desire for truth in my inward being, now that all of this is in place, then use me. I know what I'm talking about. I'm an awful, no good, dirty sinner, and I know it. I know it to the depth of my being, and I can call people from their depravity back to you because that is where I came from too. Deliver me and I won't let it be wasted. I will teach others to return to you and I will declare your praise. For you, in verse 16, will not delight in sacrifice or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. You see, God doesn't want our sacrifices. Not even our sacrifices of praise. He doesn't want our lame I'm sorries. He doesn't want our acts of service. He wants our hearts. He delights in truth in the inward being. He wants us to have a pure and clean heart. He wants us to be absolutely broken over our sin. Not just oops, but broken. And I'm talking over all of it. You see, David's sins were big ones, murder and adultery. So it's easy to say, well, when I was angry with my spouse yesterday, that doesn't count. When I was rude to the cashier, the selfishness in my heart is not as filthy as David's adultery. No, God is seeking a broken and contrite heart over our sin. Enlighten my heart, Lord, to the depth of my depravity so that I can come to you for cleansing, a new heart, a renewed spirit, so that I can bring you delight and be useful in your hands. So what's next? Well, spend some time in Psalm 51 this week. Use this song to help you meditate on its truths. And perhaps pull out a commentary or other resource to deepen your knowledge and understanding. Share what you're learning with a friend. And if you're in a crazy season, determine in your heart that you will take the moments God gives you to ponder His Word and then do it. And then while you're in God's Word this week, let me know how you're doing. Email me, michelle@michellenezat.com. Hop on Twitter @michellenezat or Facebook, Michelle L. Nezat is my public page. And let's talk about what you're learning. And before I tell you what song will be featured next week, I want to thank the premier Christian music streaming service, theoverflow.com, for pointing their subscribers to this podcast, but more importantly, pointing them to God's Word through music. And when you subscribe to their trial, you will receive a 10-day series of devotions I wrote based on some of my most popular podcast episodes. So I encourage you to check them out at theoverflow.com. I also want to thank my newest subscribers to my website. Prasanna Kumari from the UK, I hope I said that right, Kelly from Maryland, Lindsay from New York, Deborah from California, Beth from Wisconsin, Robin from Washington, Gail from New York, Christy from Texas, Kevin from British Columbia, Canada, and Colin from Texas. Welcome. Now, new subscribers to my website will benefit from an email that I send out once a week. And in that email, you will get a memory verse resource to display on your smartphone, tablet, desktop, or you can print it out. You will get an email recap of the week's episode, and you get instant access to any of the resources that I create for my episodes from time to time. It's just my way of saying thank you for listening. So head over to michellenezat.com to subscribe today. Now, don't miss an episode of my podcast. You can subscribe directly in iTunes or Stitcher Radio if you have an Android device. And while you're there, would you please leave me a written review and a star rating? This not only encourages me, but it helps me stay visible to new listeners. And as always, if you take the time to review my podcast, I will take the time to personally thank you right here on the podcast. Just like KHT920, who writes, Each new release of More Than a Song gets you excited for Monday morning. Yes, you read that correctly. The Holy Spirit, through Michelle Nizak, connects the lyrics of popular contemporary Christian music to the spiritual truths found in Scripture. Some of the lyrics are Scripture verbatim, and so we know which Bible verses will be the focus. However, lessons on other songs produce delightful surprises. The depth of instruction and understanding that Michelle conveys is what I treasure most. Each week, she creates a fully developed, rich recipe of Christian instruction from which we get to take bites to internalize and incorporate what we've learned. You never hear the songs quite the same again, and gladly share the nuggets with others. Thank you, Michelle. Well, thank you, KHT920. What a beautiful review. Well, that's it for this episode of More Than a Song. Next week, I will use the song Grace Alone by King's Kaleidoscope. If you liked this episode, would you mind sharing it with others? I've made it really easy. With just one click, you can share via Facebook, Twitter, or email. Just head over to michellenizat.com/169. While you're there, I'd love to hear from you. Click on comment to join the conversation. Until next time, take time to meditate on God's word and consider his ways.